Wednesday, November 30th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about anime in the news, ADV, and the Evangelion movie.
Let's do this.
So, yeah. Hillary Clinton is at it again.
And Lieberman.
Yeah, Lieberman.
And
whatever.
The rest of those
bastards.
Democrat bastards.
Yeah. Not that we're pro-Republican, but we're kind of anti-everyone.
Anti-anyone who anyone has ever heard of. If we haven't heard of you, then you're probably good.
So, pretty much, they're backing another one of those get rid of violent video games, oh, for the love of God, think of the children laws.
Great.
This law is fantastic.
So, the law basically says that if you are a store, you cannot sell M games to minors without getting in trouble. Also, there will be federal inspections of stores to make sure that they're, you know, not giving games to minors and such.
So the same way they go after people who give alcohol now, they just send a kid in to try to buy an illegal game, I imagine.
I don't know, but it's some sort of auditing. And basically, you know, on the surface, you say, oh, all right, well, people can still make M-rated games and sell them and whatever. But really, not so much. Because, this is why, let's say you're Walmart, right? You have two choices. You can submit to these audits and things and, you know, only sell M-rated games to non-minors. But then why go through all the trouble just to sell the M-rated games now that you're going to sell so many fewer copies? They're just not going to sell them, which means that if you make an M-rated game, you're not going to be able to sell it in as many places. And sadly, Walmart and other places like that are the places where you get most of your copies sold. So basically, while the law itself, you look at it and you say, oh, that's not so bad. It just means that, you know, stores actually can't sell really mature things to minors, which is, you know, it seems kind of okay. What it really means is, well, you won't be able to make them because they're so expensive to make. And because we're going to hurt the stores so much, we're basically coercing them in making it not reasonable for them to carry your games, which means you won't make enough money selling them, so no one will make them.
The main thing that bothers me about the law is that it gives the FTC the power to review and audit also how the ESRB does its ratings.
Yep.
And basically fiat how they rate things.
Mm-hmm.
And that all comes out of some study that Clinton keeps bringing up, where they basically, some stupid family group that doesn't like anyone to see anything bad, decided that the ESRB is terrible. They gave it a grade F, and they said that almost every game that's released should actually be an AO game and not an M game.
Yeah. The other thing that really bothers me about this that other people mentioned was, oh, okay, all right, this makes, you know, even if you want to say this makes sense, how come we don't have this for movies? You know, are we going to say R-rated movies can't be sold to children? If a little 3-year-old can walk into any store and buy an R-rated movie on DVD and no one stops him, no one cares.
Yeah, you can't go into the theater and see it, even though it's not illegal. The theaters, I remember when I was in high school, I went to rated R movies all the time, no one even blinked.
Yeah, now, what about Steam? How are you going to make sure that little kids don't buy an M-rated game on Steam?
Though they're cracking down. Now, apparently, movie theaters really crack down and they check ID for a lot of people and they won't let you into R-rated movies, even though there's no law.
Yep, there's no law. The movie rating system has no basis in law. It's just a voluntary rating system. No one is obligated to follow it or anything. You're not even obligated to get a rating. You don't have to if you don't want to. You know, just movie theaters won't show you and such. But, you know, there's no, a little kid can go and buy a freaking XXX rated book written by Scooter Libby on Amazon or in Borders, and no one checks.
Actually, sometimes people do. I have a small anecdote. When I was in middle school, I had a friend, her name was Sarah, and she was really into those smutty Danielle Steele books.
Well, I don't know what those are, but that's all right.
They're smutty, terrible books.
Okay.
And if anyone out there is offended, well, you shouldn't be reading those books, and if you read those books, you shouldn't be listening. Oh, my God.
Okay.
But anyway, so we go to the mall to hang out, because that's what middle school kids did back then, before kids were banned from malls. Mm-hmm. And she goes into Walden Book and tries to buy this Danielle Steele book. And the cashier looks at her and says, you can't buy that. You're not 18.
Did it have a thing on it that
no.
said, was there a sign?
No.
All right.
She just wouldn't sell it to her. And we started to raise a stink, and then they just kicked us out because we were just punk kids.
Yeah, but no one will stop you from buying an X-rated manga unless, you know, Otaku works at the bookstore. They don't know the difference.
You know what? Most of them wouldn't even know because anything that's actually bad is shrink-wrapped in plastic anyway.
I know. They'd have to open it to find out that it was bad. There is a label on a lot of them with some sort of rating. I don't think there's an official system, but I know that, like, Tokyopop has their own system. They kind of self, you know, regulate things, like... And they say have a letter, and then they have little descriptive words.
So
like,
I have
this
my own
contains...
rating system. The more angular and thin the characters on the cover are, and the more feathers and rose petals there are, the less likely I am to read it.
You know what? That does not coincide with the manga you just bought.
Quite.
Or you just had me
not,
buy for you. Because
they're not that thin on the front. And besides, the manga I just bought, which we'll talk about later, is crap. And I know it's crap, but it's awesome, and I love it.
It's crap. Whatever. Okay. So, video game law, on the surface, seems like an okay law. Who can argue with, you know, not selling the bad games to the minors and making it official? As to now, where 45% of the time the GameStop will check.
In reality, you know, bad.
Reality, bad. It means people won't make M-rated games, which means no games for the people who should and have a right to
and
play
them. And,
of
course, the sad reality, it's quite obvious that, I don't know about everyone else involved, but at least Hillary Clinton doesn't care about this issue, probably doesn't even agree with this issue, but it's a nice, safe issue to make a otherwise Democratic candidate look very pro-family values.
Yep, and of course, you know, the way Congress works these days is, you know, they make the law, and then, of course, you know, the courts overturn it, and then people like us go, yay, court, and the people who go, boo, court, the congressmen just go, well, I did what I could do. I can't control those crazy judges.
Activist judges.
Yeah, not taking responsibility, Congress. That's not going to get my vote.
I love the term activist judge. How dare you use the power given to you by the Constitution of the United States of America?
Yeah, good job, congressman, not using any of the power given to you by the Constitution of the United States of America and not listening to your constituents one whit.
They listen to him a little bit.
Speck.
Yeah, a little speck.
Anyway.
Though Congress has been doing some other dumb things lately, and I normally don't care, but this one affects me. And it affects me in a way that sucks. I can't get NyQuil anymore, and neither can you.
You can get NyQuil, you just can't get the real deal.
So it's not NyQuil, is it? It's something that has a big Q on it, and the letter N and Y, and it's green or red, and it tastes like crap, but it's not NyQuil.
I think it's just Nike.
Ah.
NyQuil.
So... For anyone who hasn't been paying attention to the news for the last 20 years, there's a big crystal meth problem in the United States.
I don't understand how it's such a big problem, because if you do crystal meth, you're stupid, and making crystal meth is hard, and it can kill you in a horrible explosion.
You know who makes crystal meth? You know where most meth is made?
The middle of the desert?
Small town, rural America.
Sounds right.
Actually, up north, like Pete Town type areas, too.
Uh-huh.
Because there are people there, young people, who want to get high, but... it's hard to get marijuana because marijuana is illegal.
And you can get marijuana in other places.
In a city. It's hard to get marijuana when you live in a town with 190 people in it.
Yeah, you can get it in a suburb, though.
Yeah.
All right.
And they can't really drink because they're not 21.
Well, you can drinking's not a problem. Underage drinking is rampant.
Yeah, yeah. But they just make meth.
Well, I guess that works.
So the Congress, in its infinite wisdom in many states, has decided instead of... you know, dealing with this problem, like maybe looking at our drug laws or trying to find other better things for kids to do, made laws that made it difficult, if not stupid, to get anything that contains anything that can be used to make crystal meth.
Pseudoephedrine.
Yes, basically pseudoephedrine. A couple other things. Mm-hmm. In some states, if you want to get a drug like NyQuil, you have to go up to the pharmacist. They take it out from behind the counter. You have to show two forms of ID. They take a photocopy of your ID, and then they log how much you bought and make you sign it, and you can't buy more than a certain amount per year.
I wonder why Vicks didn't do anything about this.
They did. They took it out of NyQuil, thus not having to have their NyQuil be hidden behind the counters anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, shouldn't Vicks be like, hey, this is really, you know, ruining us. Maybe we should make, you know, push...
I point out that this is much easier for them because aside from the few people who read the internet, no one's going to know or care. They won't even notice.
Oh. Well, apparently... Oh, I see a comment right here. You ready for this comment?
I'm ready.
Tylenol cold and flu day and night is your new savior. I switched to it a few months ago and it wipes the floor with NyQuil and DayQuil, even the old formulas. It's got pseudoephedrine in it too.
Ha ha.
And you know, the second comment... don't. How am I going to make my crystal meth now? But the thing is, okay, in some, you know, we hear these stories about them checking IDs and things. I can go to the store and buy I can go to the CVS and buy real deal Sudafed right now,
you know,
and
why?
No one would stop me.
You know
me.
Why? We live in New York State where it's not a huge problem.
So why don't they just ship? How about this? I got it. Here's what you do. Ready? So simple. You don't have to change your drug laws. You don't have to upset anyone. If the cops find people making crystal meth in an area, right, the drug stores in the area aren't allowed to carry the stuff anymore. Then until the crystal meth problem is gone from the area.
But, you see, that just makes it easier to make crystal meth. You can make it without that stuff.
Oh, well, if people are going to make it without that stuff, then why even bother?
Because that makes it easier. Remember, Congress is very good at putting Band-Aids on problems. It's not very good at solving problems.
Yeah, maybe they should use, you know, their power.
I mean, there are a lot of ways you could deal with the crystal meth problem. One of which would be make marijuana legal, and hopefully they'd smoke something that at least wouldn't eat their brain physically.
Maybe.
Or maybe give kids something to do, so instead of wanting to...
Yeah, giving kids something to do is the number one.
Because, I mean, where we live now, there's a mall near us, and it doesn't affect us anymore because we're actually adults. Which is kind of scary. But the mall banned anyone under the age of 18 being in the mall alone or in groups without a parent all weekend.
Mm.
So kids can't hang out in the mall on weekends.
So what are kids supposed to do? Well, yeah. Their parents yell at them for playing video games for too many hours.
All right, but they won't let them go outside and run around in the street because it's dangerous.
Yeah, someone will kidnap you. You can't go on this playground because the playground sucks.
Because they took away the swings and the seesaws.
Yeah, it's like, you know, these are the things you absolutely should never do. These are the things that we're going to stop you from doing because we just won't make them available.
I know, there's nothing left except crystal meth.
Yep. And basically the kids just got
See, I hate to sound old, but really, it's changed a lot from when I was a kid. And I'm sure our parents said the same thing, but goddamn.
When
I was a kid, I wandered around within about a 6-mile radius of my house willy-nilly on my little bike. I'd disappear for hours at a time. I'd come home with cuts and bruises and gashes, and my parents just didn't even notice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, everything just, you know, changes over time, gets worse, gets better, who knows. But there's a line for everything.
When was the last time I got better? When was the last time they added something more dangerous to a playground?
When they invented the seesaw. When they invented the swirly slide.
In other words, not in our lifetime.
But think about it. Before then, there were no swing sets. There were no playgrounds.
You realize there have been swing sets since the Industrial Revolution, if not
earlier.
Yeah,
okay. But sure, but what about in the 1700s, man? It sucked. It sucked ass.
You had a
loop of wood and a stick.
In the 1700s?
If you had a ball, you were like a freaking rich dude.
By the time you were 17, you had a wife and 5 kids working the farm.
And you had a gun and you fought in the Revolutionary War.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So it did get better, but now it's just getting worse.
People are so afraid of everything. It's scary.
See, I wouldn't even mind the people being afraid of things. It's just
but
the,
they take things away from
fear.
Me.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have a problem when I was in high school. I liked to go out at night. I'd always ride my bike at night, or I'd go for a walk at night, or I'd just wander around at night. And I always get harassed by police officers. They'd stop me, and they'd say things like, "What are you doing out? Why are you out at night? Go home." And I'd say, "I'm outside. Am I not allowed to be outside? Just because it's dark out? There's no curfew. There's no law." And they'd just say, "Go home, or I'll do something to you."
What are you going to do?
I usually just laughed and ignored them.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't catch me. They were fat cops in cars, and I was on a bike, and I was a young, spry kid.
But even so, even if they caught you, what are they going to do?
Well, technically there were curfews in all the parks, which is another thing that grinds my gears.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get off this topic.
And on to what? We don't have so much else.
Anyway, there was this guy.
There was a guy?
He bought a camera. Yeah, he bought a digital SLR camera and whatever.
Uh-huh.
From he was really wanted this camera, and he kept going around the internet to find the best price. He found the best price on Price Right Photo, which is a camera store in the city, right? And he ordered it. And his order didn't go so well.
Really?
No, it didn't go so well at all. So basically, he was upset. And he was upset with the customer service, and he was really upset. So, you know, he got into sort of a not-so-nice conversation with the people at the store. And then he received the following message from the store owner guy. And it says, I will make sure you will never be able to place an order on the internet again. I'm an attorney. I will sue you. I will call the CEO of your company and play him the tape of this phone call. I'm going to call your local police and have two officers come over and arrest you. You better get this through your thick skull. You have no idea who you were dealing with.
Wow. Wait. I don't know where to start on that statement.
Yeah, so this guy...
You sure this isn't Jack Thompson?
Yeah, okay. But anyway, this guy, that's from the guy at the photo place where the guy had a bad experience. So, of course, the guy placed his whole experience on his blog. Duh. And it got dug. It got dug a lot. And as soon as it got dug, well, in the comments on Dig, people found, well, the store, the phone number, the address, the fax machine, the email, the everything. And considered to enact vigilante justice in an internet fashion.
Ah, internet justice.
We hope the guy learned a lesson. There's a lot of updates. I haven't read them all, but I think the guy who runs the store is pretty unhappy.
You know, I think I'll call the guy and ask him how he's doing.
Yeah, I think he'll Jack Thompson you.
You know what? If he Jack Thompson's me, I'll play it the next time we do a show.
Awesome. Totally awesome. Yeah, but I just wish, you know, it's like vigilante justice happens. I just wish it happened more often and more people were vulnerable to it. Like, we can't vigilante justice Hillary Clinton. It doesn't work.
Nah, because she has buffers. She has people between her and us that read her email for her.
Yep, and we couldn't beat her up in the street. There's, like, Secret Service guys, and we can't, like, harass
yes,
her because she's
beating
in...
up a politician in the street is the best way to prove that gamers aren't violent.
It is. And then, you know, when... You know, we can't, like, egg her house because it's a fence in a big yard. And
I don't know. I egged Eminem's house once. Well, not really.
The chocolate with the shell?
No, Eminem, the singers. I really did.
Singing chocolate?
Wow, you're more divorced from pop culture than I could ever imagine.
I just don't know who famous people are.
Okay. Well, I egged this famous guy's house.
All right.
I'll tell that story someday, perhaps. So, you know what? I told it right now. I fucking egged his house. So if you're listening, that was me.
Why did a guy name himself after chocolate? Wasn't he looking for jokes or what?
You actually don't know who Eminem? Not, you have no idea? Nothing?
Not really.
All right. Moving on.
Okay. So, his things of the day.
Things of the day.
Thing of the day.
Things of the day.
Two things.
All right.
Thing one and thing two.
My thing.
Oh, we should do a little Dr. Seuss type intro for that. You know, thing one and thing two. With
thing
the...
red and thing blue.
That's not how it goes. You obviously haven't read The Cat in the
Hat. One fish, two fish, red fish,
no,
blue
this
fish.
Is The Cat in the Hat. You know when thing one and thing two come out and they run around the house? Okay, you don't know Dr. Seuss enough, but that's all right. That's we should get some sort of audio clip of that and use that.
We could. I
thing
have
one
the
and
tape
thing
somewhere,
two.
Actually.
Cool. All right.
So mine's real short. I won't go into detail on it because I think the headline says it all. Monkeys have accents. Monkey language is different depending on area, and it's not genetic. Different monkeys have different accents, and some monkeys make fun of other monkeys they meet who have funny accents.
Oh, I am the French monkey. I will fling my French poo at you. Oh.
Yeah, something like that. But it's actually kind of interesting because they talk about how this gives us a lot of clues as to how language appeared and evolved in humanity, because this is kind of what early human language was probably like.
Yep.
That's really all I got to say about that.
It definitely means that...
Evolution happened. Intelligent design is bullshit.
That is part of it.
Something like that.
It's good enough. So, this story is a little tiny bit involved. There was a guy, and he was kind of unhappy because people were speeding through his urban neighborhood.
Did he put a trap in the road?
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay. I haven't read it, but
I think he's a professor somewhere. And as part of his study, he tried to find ways to curb the speeding, to make people go slower through his neighborhood, without just putting up signs and warnings and fines and things.
I can think of a real good way.
Well,
make very lifelike mannequins that look like little kids and toss them in front of speeders' cars.
Well, no, he put an 11-foot-high rabbit on the side of the street so people would slow down and look. Huh. He put like a giant bed on the side of the road. It says for a sleeping policeman. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It just says that in parentheses. I don't get it.
Okay.
He put a fake crash scene on Halloween next to the road so people would rubberneck it.
Ah, rubbernecking's good.
Yeah. So one day he just set up a living room in the street. The living room is set up so where he's got like a couch, like a table on either side of the couch and a coffee table in front of it. And he's got like a plant and some magazines. And then he's got a rug. And then across from the rug, there's a long kind of table with a TV on it. And, you know, a little stand. And he's got this whole living room set up in the middle of the street. And there's enough room on the rug for a car to drive through this little living room in between him and the TV.
You know, there's like 5 Monty Python sketches about that.
Yep. There probably are. I think it's actually in Britain, too, which is why it's funnier. Yeah, Oxford. There you go. So, basically, he noticed that, you know, the men who drove down the road would be kind of grr and go on, but the women were like, crazy grr.
Really?
And, like, one guy, like, in an SUV even, like, bumped into his stuff and, you know, it wasn't good. But, you know, it's pretty cool because the idea is like, you know, hey, the street, you know, right now in urban environments across the Western world, it's like the street is the domain of cars. And basically the whole city is the domain of cars. And he's like, you know, he's kind of like taking it back saying, cars are just here. This is, you know, people. It's a place for people. Kind of, you know.
Yeah. I can say it'd be real nice if they didn't allow cars in New York City.
It didn't allow cars at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that would work. How would they deliver goods?
Trucks are allowed.
Okay. But, all right. What if you need to get somewhere across town and there's no cross-town subway because there isn't?
I think it's obvious that I was not actually advocating the removal of cars from New York City.
That's good.
I was being facetious.
Feces? Just?
That was not funny at all.
I never thought of it before, so I had to let it out. I had to let out the feces. I couldn't all keep right. The feces in any longer.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time they appeared. They had to
excrete. So, what do you say we have Thursdays? Because we're still talking about what to do on Thursdays. We'll make poop jokes.
Poop joke Thursday?
Poop joke Thursday.
I'm liking poop joke Thursday.
Nothing but poop jokes. Maybe fart jokes. A little fart every now and then. You know, spice it up.
Anal jokes. Any jokes involving the rear end and not... Oh, they can involve the front end as long as they also involve the rear end. Just we'll call it the rear... It's the end of the week, so we make jokes about the end of your body.
I wouldn't be surprised if some morning zoo show didn't already have that exact bit.
I'm pretty sure the bit is taken, and I'm pretty sure there's no poop joke we can come up with that someone else is already not... heard.
Nah. So a rabbi and a piece of poop walk into a bar.
And?
I figure that's enough.
Nah.
Anyway. So, it's time for the main bit!
In the main event.
There should be music here!
We really gotta... And it's even the crappiest crap podcasts have, like, bumpering music and intro music. I don't know where the hell they get it from.
See, I think a lot of people just take copyrighted music and use it.
It doesn't sound like copyrighted music to me.
See, you say that, but I played a whole bunch of classical jazz for you, and you hadn't heard or recognized a single one of them.
I don't know. I have to go do some research into it. I'm going to maybe email some people tomorrow.
Actually, I got a couple of friends in RIT. I think we'll ask them to do some geeky guitar riffs for us, and we'll just use guitar riffs.
That could work. If we had a synthesizer, we could do it, too. You could just be like, boopy, 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 boop.
I like guitar riffs. An actual guitar, like an acoustic guitar even.
Whatever. It's all
we'll
good.
We'll see. But it's Anime Manga Comics Day.
All right.
And there's a lot of, not a lot, but the quality of it is very high, anime news.
Mm-hmm. Basically, Fortune Magazine went and did some sort of super interview of, I don't know, many, many pages on the guy who runs ADV.
Yeah. And, of course, the summary is that anime is extremely lucrative now.
And the people who, the American anime companies, are super smart, and the other companies not so smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Namely, the movie companies and other media.
Let's see. MPAA sues anyone who uploads or downloads anything. Anime, fan subs are just fine.
As long as you take them off before, you know, we put it out. And you know what? They all take them off.
Yeah, you can still find it out there.
You can still find it, but I mean, anime ski. Think about it. No one with a BitTorrent of movies site, right, like puts movies out, and then when the movie's released, takes them all off, right? Anime ski, it's like, you put up the torrents, it's licensed, take them off.
Even though you can find the torrents to any anime you want pretty much any time, somehow the anime still sells a lot.
Yep. It's like, hey, we bought freaking FMA and you also downloaded it.
Yeah. I mean, I watched all of FMA and now you're probably going to buy it.
Yep. Sells. But the point is, this ADV guy, they talk about how he's cool like that and how the company doesn't do dumb things and, you know, they know their audience and they get to know their audience by hanging out with them.
Was he the one who had the fanboy knock on his door?
He had a fanboy knock on his door talking about Ava, right?
It was like late at night and this fanboy apparently knocks on his door.
I think it was early in the morning. I don't know.
It was some off hour.
Mm-hmm.
And this fanboy just wanted to say that he didn't like the end of Ava.
And the guy was like, I didn't make it. I just brought it here. Leave me alone. Needless to say, now the ADV guy lives in like a gated community with an alarm system and a gun. But, you know, the main point is that, you know, you can't go up to, like, a movie producer and talk about movies so he would know what's good and what's not. But the anime companies are really connected with their customers, and that's why they please their customers so much.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. They spend a lot of money on just finding out what's going on.
Yep.
Like, I speak at all those anime cons. Mm-hmm. Like, I sit on the club summit, and I do all that, like, Otakon and everything. And I get to meet a lot of the club advocates or the, like, convention advocates from the big anime companies. And basically, these people are paid very well, mind you, to pretty much go to every anime convention, talk to people, make friends, have fun, and just figure out the word of mouth of what's popular and what isn't, and what they should license, and what's doing well, and all that stuff.
Yep. Think about it. Imagine if they got rid of all fan subs, right, because they thought it was piracy. And imagine if they just, you know, they were just a business and they didn't talk to the fans or anything. How would they know which anime series to show? Well, they could go by the Japanese numbers, but then something like Trigun would never get over here because no one in Japan watched that, but it's crazy popular here.
Or even Big O. Big O flopped terribly in Japan, and it did super well in the U.S.
Yeah, but it was a different show. It was kind of made for U.S.-Japan simultaneousness.
Cowboy Bebop didn't do that well at first.
Not at first, but that made it crazy popular in like countries like Italy and such.
Yeah.
So it was a different story. But
it's an example of an industry that cares about doing what it does well and cares about making money and isn't afraid to ask for help and find out what they should really be doing.
Yep.
Or make changes if necessary.
You mean you look at something like, you know, Naruto. Freaking anime companies didn't find out about Naruto. What, you know, some kids found out about it and started fan subbing it like crazy. And then the anime company saw there was this crazy Naruto action going on. So then it got onto Cartoon Network, and then bam, craziness. Yeah, there it goes. You know, movie companies don't sit around, you know, talking to fans. They kind of shun fans. You know, they're like, get away from us. We're making movies.
Plus, in some ways, the American anime distributors are doing things in a much smarter way than the original Japanese companies that made the anime.
That is very true, but that's because a lot of Japanese companies not only go by, you know, capitalism of, you know, do things to compete and get more money, but they have other factors like pride and old-fashioned, like, you know, just...
Yeah.
These are the values, we stand by these things, period. We don't even have reasons for them or anything.
But they have such problems, like, DVDs in Japan cost about twice as much as DVDs here. So now there's a big problem in Japan whereby anime will come out on DVD in Japan, and a lot of people don't buy it. And they wait. And then when it comes out in the U.S., they re-import the U.S. version because it also has the Japanese audio on it, and it's half the price.
Gee, maybe, you know, if you want globalization and free trade, that's what you have to deal with. It's a global market. You can't have these artificial separate markets in separate countries.
I'm using capitalism.
If you want to sell something, you have to sell it to everyone in the world at the same price.
Yep.
Or else you're just going to be competing with yourself.
But instead, they do silly things. Like, didn't you ever wonder why it takes so long for a show that's licensed to get released in the U.S.? It's not because it takes that long to dub it. It's not because it takes that long to translate
it. Yeah, people fan sub these things overnight, and they do a pretty good job.
It's because every single anime company, with rare exceptions, when they license the show, they always put a stipulation in the contract that it will not be released for X months, thus ensuring that a lot of people who want it in Japan will be forced to buy the Japanese one, and they can't wait and then buy the American one.
I don't even understand. Like, it's good that we have it the way it is because the American companies do good things for us. But if the Japanese companies didn't suck, they could just do it themselves. Because, I mean, think about it. All they get out of the deal is the money for the license. They don't get anything else. And if the American companies are profiting, that means that they're making more money off using the license than they're paying for the license. Obviously.
And in many cases, they wouldn't have to hire Americans and dub it, because while I like dubs, I'm not really a fanboy, but most dubs suck, and most people who like anime actually prefer the subtitles for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, at least the super fans, you know. Dub it if you're going to put it on TV.
Well, remember the shitstorm that erupted from the fans of Initial D when they saw that dub?
Well, that's because they just twisted the whole show around.
Yeah, Tokyo Pop apologized for that and hasn't done it since.
Yeah.
Though now Foxbot is doing that to One Piece.
Oh, great.
Actually, what they're doing to One Piece is worse than what was done to anything ever, with the possible exception of Nausicaa.
Escaflowne TV.
Are you familiar with Warriors of the Wind?
Yeah, but are you familiar with the Escaflowne that was on Fox?
Actually, I have a friend, and she's wonderful and awesome, but the first several episodes of Escaflowne that she saw on Fox.
God.
And one time she asked me if it was any different. And I almost cried. I didn't know what to say. Yes, it's different.
It's not even close. Not even close.
But at least the plot was almost the same. Warriors of the Wind took footage from an anime, rearranged it, and then dubbed over it and made a completely different movie.
Robotech.
Ah, Robotech.
Taking, you know, let's see. They took three animes. They took Macross, one of the greatest animes there is. They took Southern Cross, which I've never actually seen. And they took Genesis Rider Mos Peta, the thing with the people have wheels on their back. And they put them in order, and they remixed them and redubbed them with this story of proto-culture throughout all three of them that didn't exist in two of the shows. And they made a new show, and they called it Robotech. And people liked it, because they didn't realize what was going on.
Or early on, when companies would pick something up like Sailor Moon, and be like, all right, we can show this to kids, we'll just dub out all these bad things. And then they try to get the second season, they're like, wait a minute, that a lesbian there? That girl just gets shot? Ah, crap.
Yep, ADV, however, is smart, unlike those other companies, and they know what the real deal is. And so do some other companies. I think Viz knows what the real deal is. You know, despite not getting the best animes, I think CPM and them know what the real deal
Bandai.
Is. Bandai definitely knows what the real deal is, but Bandai, I think, is not quite the same, because that's actually a Japanese company kind of doing it. But they do it well.
Yes, very well.
They do it well. You know, in fact, if you actually go take a look at your DVDs, well, Genion knows what's up too, but go take a look at your DVDs or your manga or whatever and look where the Bandai is at. And I'm betting if you have good taste, you'll see more Bandai than you realize. Like, there was a poll, which American anime DVD company is the best? And I was like, huh, I don't really have loyalty to any of them. I just have loyalty to shows. So I looked to see which shows are my favorites and which companies they came from.
80% of them are Bandai.
It's just Bandai. Gundams, all Bandai.
Yep.
Cowboy Bebop, Bandai.
Escaflowne?
Bandai. almost everything was Bandai. And I was like, well, yep, I guess that's an easy choice. Not to say that no one else has any good shows, you know, because that's far from the truth. But
yeah.
Well, some company. Well, even the crap companies like CPM have like one or two movies or something like that that they got, you know?
There are very few anime companies that have nothing.
I think there are zero that have nothing.
Well, Foxbot has nothing, because what they did to One Piece is not
anime.
That's
not an anime company.
Yeah.
you know. Actually, it's kind of scary the way that works. Is there's a company called Viz. You know, Viz is good. Viz, there's this other company they're with. I forget the name of it. I wish I remembered it. That does, like, the TV stuff, right? But it's actually combo with Viz somehow. I forget the exact... It's a weird company arrangement that I don't know the details of. But that's where all the things like Cardcaptor, Sakura, and things like that go through to get on TV. And that's the part that screws everything up on Fox.
You know what really screws it up is trying to put anime on TV, because American TV networks don't like that sort of thing at all.
Yep,
they don't like the idea of a cartoon that might not be for little tiny kids. Or
but you know what they do like? They do like the idea of having a cartoon without having to pay to make one.
They do like that.
And they like the fact that, hey, people watch it. You know, that's all they really want is they need a cartoon to put... Because the only reason they want a cartoon is so that they can put advertisements for toys in the cartoon. They don't care what the cartoon is, as long as more little kids look at it.
It helps if the cartoon is about a toy that they can then sell.
Yep, Transformers, that was like the dream. But it's even better if they don't have to pay to make the cartoon. They can just buy a cartoon that's already made.
Yeah.
So that's why you see the anime on the little kids' shows. And that's why, but, you know, you see Adult Swim. All right, so the other great thing that I found out in this article with the ADV guy is I found out the real deal with the live-action Evangelion movie.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for that to come out forever.
I don't know. Not so much forever. At least a year or whatever. The story is that it's not some, you know, Japanese person making it. It's this ADV guy wants to make this movie. And the reason he wants to make this movie is because more people bother him about Evangelion than anything else. Fanboys came to his door to complain about it.
Well, it's kind of a fanboy series. I mean, in Japan, when the show first ended, there were almost mini riots.
Yep.
People went nuts.
Well, it says here, there's a quote, Fortune says that Evangelion is to anime fans as Star Trek is to Trekkies. And I'm like, all right, it's not a perfect analogy because Star Trekkies don't like anything else.
Yeah. some do.
Some
know,
do, but
know
you
some.
Know, but that's like, whatever. The thing is that the ADV guy wants to make it so that he can make a bunch of money by making a live-action Eva. So he's got in touch with the Weta Digital guys who did the Lord of the Rings CG stuff, right? And apparently those Weta Digital guys, they get about 25 emails about this live-action Eva movie to every one email they get about Lord of the Rings.
This movie that isn't even made yet.
The movie that isn't even made yet. The guy's trying to raise money to make the movie first. He's got about $100 million already gotten.
Is there any way we can get in on this? I'd invest, because I think this thing is going to make a pile of money.
You can give the guy money.
But will I get money back?
Write him an email.
I should.
You should.
Be like, I'll invest. I'll give you like $500.
I think he's looking for millions, though.
But think about it. What if he took up a thing where he let fans invest? Like, say, make the minimum $500 or $500 increments and pay back a set dividend based on how well it does. And I think a lot of fans would jump on that chance and he'd get the rest of the money he needed.
Maybe.
I think it's pretty much a sure investment.
Anyway, so basically the guy went to the San Diego Comic-Con where all the nerds are hanging out, right? And he was talking to some people trying to raise money for the movie, right? And a guy... He was going to sit down with this guy, and before they could sit down, some fan recognized him and came up to him. And he said, you know, he didn't ask him about anything except he asked him about Eva. So the guy who's trying to raise money for the movie turns to the producer next to him that, you know, he was trying to get money or whatever from, and he says, this is why we have to do this movie. Basically, he's got two serious Eva fanboys on the job, and
that's probably a good thing, because while fanboys are fanboys, they know their stuff, and they know what makes a show like that.
Yep. So, these people, anything they work on has to be cleared by these fanboys, and he's investing money. He's going to make a live-action Evangelion movie, I guess in English, and hope it not sucks.
Yeah, I really got a lot of hope because Eva was fantastic. And the only thing I worry is that they're going to have to cut a lot out. So I wonder how they're going to pace it.
I don't know if it's is it going to be a they didn't even say is it going to be a summary movie
or will it just be like the end or will it skip bits?
You know what? I know what it'll have. It'll have
giant robots.
It'll have some giant robots. It'll have some angst. It'll have some aliens, and it'll have some crazy ass ending.
Yeah, it'll also have girls in plug suits.
Yeah, it will. And that's what it's going to be.
Or maybe he'll make it like he'll make one, and it'll actually just be like the first five episodes of Ava. And then it'll be like, all right, I need more money.
Yeah, but then, see, I don't know if you want to go that path, because what if he never makes another one? Then it's kind of
a... Yeah, see, it's a risk, but that's the... Like, Firefly. There's talk that after the moratorium or whatever ends, they might just start making Firefly direct to DVD, and all the fans will buy it, and that'll cover everything.
Whatever.
They could do the same thing with this. But the thing is, we don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
It costs a lot of money, more money to make a live-action Ava than it costs to make a Firefly.
Yeah. Depends on how well the live-action Ava does. I mean, if it does well, great. If it does really well,
I have a feeling it's just he's already figured out how much money he needs to make it, and I think he understands how much he's probably going to make off of it. And it'll probably be profitable, you know? Yeah. Who knows how much, but...
Well, the initial D movie, the live-action, everyone who's seen it loves it.
Yep.
We haven't seen it yet, so that's the only reason we haven't talked about it.
Yep. Apparently, they also mentioned the live-action live-action/CG Transformers movie that's going to come out.
Wait, you said slash CG, like there's no CG in the Ava movie.
Right. you know, but it's mostly CG because the CG guys are the main characters as opposed to just the robots.
Yeah.
But
because you can't make Optimus Prime be some guy in a cardboard suit.
You could.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. But anyway, apparently for that, which I did not know, Steven Spielberg is the executive producer.
What?
Yeah. Of the Transformers live-action movie that's not made yet.
That's great, because it's not George Lucas. I would cry.
If it was George Lucas, no one would watch it. But apparently they're also tapping the Transformers fan base a bit.
It's a pretty big fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us remember that movie? I didn't really cry, but I cried a little when, spoiler, Optimus Prime died.
And so did all the other Transformers. Well, a bunch of them.
Yeah. Rodimus Prime just couldn't cut it either.
No. I don't know. It's like Ultra Magnus was so cool and powerful, except his personality was so weak he couldn't be the leader or anything. They should have made his personality different so that he would be like the secondary leader. Because Rodimus was just more like, I guess they could have done worse, but...
Yeah, Bumblebee could have taken over.
Yeah. Or made Rodimus' personality different and make Ultra Magnus just some guy.
Yeah, though Rodimus worked, because he was kind of the reluctant, I now have
until they got rid of him because he sucked and they brought back
Optimus
Prime.
Yeah, but it's
like,
I have this thrust into my hands and I don't feel capable or confident, and oh, I'm not.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so is it time to come up with something to say at the end of the podcast every day?
Yeah.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussion. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.